From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua as he commences a message entitled Things to Remember. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, No Cause to Blush. The text is Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. We shall not be ashamed of our faith. Carping critics may assail the scriptures upon which we ground our belief, but every year the Lord will make it more and more clear that in His book there is no error, no excess, and no omission. It is no discredit to be a simple believer. The faith which looks alone to Jesus is a crown of honor on any man's head, and better than a star on his breast. We shall not be ashamed of our hope. It shall be even as the Lord has said. We shall be fed, led, blessed, and rested. Our Lord will come, and then the days of our mourning shall be ended. How we shall glory in the Lord who first gave us lively hope, and then gave us that which we had hoped for. We shall not be ashamed of our love. Jesus is to us the altogether lovely. And never, never shall we have to blush because we have yielded our hearts to Him. The sight of our glorious well-beloved will justify the most enthusiastic attachment to Him. None will blame the martyrs for dying for Him. When the enemies of Christ are clothed with everlasting contempt, the lovers of Jesus shall find themselves honored by all holy beings, because they chose the reproach of Christ rather than the treasures of Egypt.
Heart, for a faith that's sure,
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In Joshua chapter 23, Joshua is now an old man, shortly to die. Almost from the edge of the grave, he exhorts the children of Israel to remain faithful to the Lord who had delivered the land of promise into their hands. In verse 11, he says, "Take good heed unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God." As Dr. Cairns will show, this passage contains a solemn warning to the unsaved to flee to Christ without delay. However, the major emphasis is to God's people to be diligent in following the Lord. In the course of this message, we'll see a number of things that we must remember if we are to go on with God. In the first place, we must keep before us what the Lord has done for us. In His grace and love, He has given His people rich promises, which He has never failed to fulfill. May the Lord help us to take these reminders to heart in these days of forgetfulness. Now, to introduce this message, Things to Remember, here is Dr. Cairns.
We return this morning to the book of Joshua, and we are nearing the end of this book. It's chapter 23 this morning. We're going to start reading at verse 1. It came to pass, a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I'm old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you, and drive them out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom, to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you as He hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until He have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them. Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which He hath given unto you. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. The approach of death always sets life in its true perspective. Joshua felt that very deeply. As an old man of well over 100 years and just about to die, he felt that he had more than ever a very urgent message for the people whom he had led for so many years and through so many great experiences. So he called the leaders, the officers, those who would soon follow them to the leadership of Israel, and spoke to them, after which he addressed the entire congregation of Israel. The theme of Joshua's address, as in the light of death he sought to set life for these people in its true perspective, the theme is the same whether he's speaking to the officers or to the ordinary people. That theme is clearly expressed in the words of verse 11 of chapter 23 when he says, "Take good heed," or "be diligent to remember." That seems to me to go to the heart of everything that Joshua wants to say to the people of God just before he leaves them. Take heed. Be diligent to take heed. I think that that's a message for every man and every woman, and certainly for all of us gathered here. This last week I have stood day after day after day at the bed of approaching death. I have watched the breathing become more and more labored, life begin to recede further and further, and eternity come nearer and nearer. And every time I looked at that deathbed, as on every deathbed that I have ever had to visit, I have felt this helps you understand much of what the Bible says by way of warning. If you could have stood there, I think you would understand why Joshua, on the edge of the grave, issued this warning, and he cried with all the energy that God would give him, "Men and women, take heed. Take heed." Some of you here this morning, despite the advantage of being born into a Christian home, despite the advantage of hearing the gospel from ever you can remember hearing anything, despite the advantage of a Christian education, despite the advantage of gospel preaching week after week, despite having a Bible in your possession and a praying people surrounding you, yet you are headed carelessly and thoughtlessly toward a lost eternity, caring nothing of God, nothing of Christ, nothing of your need, nothing of grace, thinking only of the things that now seem to allure and satisfy for a little while. Men and women, young people, the words of Joshua would come to you if you're unconverted. You're yet without Jesus Christ, if you're trampling the gospel beneath your feet, turning a deaf ear to the invitations of grace, take heed. Time is passing quickly by. Death and judgment draweth nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly. Be in time. There is a message of solemn warning, even for the unconverted. And I would admonish you today, as one dying man to another, that you would waste no time in considering how it stands between your soul and your God, and you would flee from the wrath which is surely to come on all who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But it has to be said that the message Joshua gave was intended preeminently as a warning to those who profess to be God's people. It is a message that stands today in all its pristine power, and it is as pertinent to us as it was to Israel. It's a message about those things that we must be diligent to remember if we are to live in the blessing and in the power that God has for His people. Things that we as Christians are to remember if we're to live in the blessing and power of the gospel. First, we can learn that we should remember what the Lord has done for us. This is what Joshua's message in these chapters 23 and 24 is all about. Read them again and you'll find that Joshua is seeking to impress upon the people of God just how great things the Lord have done for them. Remember what the Lord has done for you. That's the message. Stop and think as you read this passage again this morning. He has given to us, His people, rich promises, and He has not failed to fulfill them. I may come back to the words of verse 14 and give them separate consideration if the Lord wills. But this is one of the great statements of Scripture regarding the faithfulness of God. He says, "You know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." The Lord has given us, His people, exceeding great and precious promises, to use Peter's term. Exceeding great and precious promises. And the great thing about the promises of God is that they never go without being fulfilled. The Lord keeps His word. One of the great statements Paul made, my wife loves this so much she has it done out as a little plaque. It's a verse that I hear her quote again and again. It's a verse that, to be honest, very often boggles my imagination, where God is speaking of His faithfulness, and He goes so far as to say, "Even if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful." Now, that's not an excuse for unbelief. It is rather a support for faith. It is saying to you that the faithfulness of God depends not on us, it depends on Himself. It depends not on how much make-believe we can screw up within ourselves. It depends on the character of God. He abideth faithful. He always keeps His word. You think of the exceeding great and precious promises God gave to Israel, then translate them into New Testament terms and see those same promises which He has given to us, the Israel of God, and notice how He has fulfilled them. Did He not give to us right when He started dealing with our souls in grace? Did He not give to us the promise of salvation on coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Did He not promise us pardon for sin, release from the guilt of sin and the shame of sin? Did He not promise us the peace of knowing that it is well with our souls? What happened when by grace through faith we came to Jesus? We laid our burdens down at Calvary. Thank God we found what it was to pass from death unto life, from the power of darkness unto God. We passed into the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Savior. We found that our sins were gone. They were rolled away, never to be remembered against us anymore forever. We had peace with God, peace in our own souls, peace of conscience, because we stood justified in the presence of the Holy God of glory. My, He gave us a great promise, the promise of eternal life. Is there anything in the world to compare with God's promise of eternal salvation, dependent not on our righteousness, but on the righteous merit of the blessed Son of God Himself? Has He kept His word? Are we saved today by grace alone? Thank God, He hath not failed in His promise. And when He saved us, did He not promise, I will be with you always? Did He not say, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you? Did He not give us the promise that He would hide us in the secret of His tabernacle, that He Himself would be with us day and night, in sickness and in health, in wealth or in poverty, in public acclaim or public shame? He would stand by our side, and we could therefore say, we will not fear what man shall do unto us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.